You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are so excited, as always, to be joined by yet another amazing guest, another mom who's here to share her story. So welcome to Bridget. Bridget is a wife to a rock star husband and a mom of two phenomenal and vibrant girls, Adeline, 15, and Georgia, 11. In her spare time, she is a chauffeur to those two active girls and a highly trained volunteer for the things she's passionate about. She also answered the call to give back to the community that brought her daughter back to her by joining the client guide team here at Resilience Naturopathic. Bridget, we are so excited to have you here to share your story. And believe it or not, I haven't heard a whole lot of your story, in spite of the fact that you're so involved with helping so many other people. So I'm really excited personally to get to hear the nitty gritty and details about your story. So welcome. Thank you for taking the call, both to help the other families and now to share your story in a more open platform. So thank you. Well,
thank you. I probably haven't shared my story because this is very out of my comfort zone. So yeah.
Which is just like a huge, right? Because there's so many people who have gained so much from hearing other people's stories. And every single story has something a little bit different that somebody can connect to that maybe hasn't connected before. So I'm really, really grateful that you're paying it forward in yet another way to help people who need it. So thank you.
Right. I mean, those stories that I would hear during my journey, I mean, you need that hope when you're in the thick of it. I get to come on and share a story with a happy ending. So I'm going to probably fluster through
and
it.
And that's fine.
But
that's fine.
My best. But yeah, it's, I mean, thanks to you guys and homeopathy that I've got a thriving 15-year-old.
Well, let's, before we get into all of that, your amazing story, just tell us a little bit more about yourself and like your family.
Yeah. I mean, I do have the best husband, so I'm fortunate with that. He let me try everything as long as it wasn't going to hurt. He was on board. We live in a, you know, wonderful little inner city, city of Minneapolis. I volunteer a ton. I have an amazing family. And yeah, I mean, and I'm here to now share the story for the world to hear.
Well, let's jump right into the story. Tell us about y'all's PANS journey.
Yeah. I think, you know, like most of us, we have that the wheels fall off moment. And then when we look back, you know, there were signs, you know, our wheels fell off around age 6 after scarlet fever. But looking back, I mean, I don't know if kids can be born with this, but, you know, we had, Addie was born in August. We were at our 4th of July family event. I was standing next to a fire truck and it blew its horn and she jumped out of my stomach. Like I started to cry. And from then on, she did not stop moving. And it was like she was fighting to get out. And she came out very quick. And by the time we left the hospital, you know, the nurse came out to me and she was just like, ask for help. It's like she is already colicky. Like she is going to be tough. And sure enough, I mean, she just screamed. You couldn't put her down. You couldn't hold her. You know, the AC would turn on and she would freak out. It was like her nervous system was fried. And so we would have that, you know, looking back to our kids, she never got sick. And I was like, oh, we're so healthy, you know, learned later that wasn't the case. But too, like we would go into our well visit checks. You do the things that you do at well visit checks. And I would get this baby and this toddler that was so lovely, like for a day or two. And then all of a sudden it would come back. And then I would notice myself gearing up springtime, like putting my armor on, telling people, oh gosh, we're about to get a different kid. It's going to get real bad. And then, you know, she started into preschool at like, I think age 3, the teacher was just like, you need to get her assessed. You know, so diagnosed with sensory processing disorder, started, you know, the OT, all the therapies. And, you know, my family were like, oh, she might be on the spectrum. You know, this is what it's looking like. And then at age six, you know, scarlet fever, shortly after that, right away, you know, we started seeing tics. So we just, you know, observed. The pediatrician said, totally normal. They'll come, they'll go. And then all of a sudden urinary stuff. She would be coming back from school with her uniform. She had an accident. And she was just like, I was just in line for, you know, lunch and I had no control. And this was a kid that she started talking at 9 months old. She potty trained herself at 18 months old. So there was like, okay, this is unusual. Nighttime and then frequency. So then we thought UTI, you know, so then we would take her in, no UTI. Then the OCD started, you know, the just right OCD and the counting, having to do things an even number amount of times. And she was always, you know, separation anxiety, general anxiety, that was always part of what she looked like, but it ramped up. You know, I couldn't leave the room. Then the school refusal, just begging and crying, not for us to send her. If we did send her, she was going to run away. Then she was having some, you know, hallucinations. There was this robot with red eyes that she was always seeing, seeing other things. And then the age regression, the baby talk. But at that point, you know, we had a little, you know, a little one as well. So, you know, you don't really think that that's a part of it. And then there was a night, you know, those certain moments where you will never forget. And I was putting her to bed. My husband was out of town and she just said, Mom, something is wrong with my head. There is something going on. Like, you need to help me. And I was like, well, you're just dehydrated. Let's get some water. And, you know, she's just like, then I'm going to be peeing all the time. Like, something is going on. And so I put her to bed and to the couch I went and Google. And, you know, I had seen pandas come up. It was this rare thing that, of course, we didn't have. So I just never looked into it. And then finally I clicked it and I was like, oh my gosh, every single thing. Like, this is lining up. This is painting a picture of what's going on. And I saw the, you know, writing regression. So I went into her room. She was doing a calendar, you know, every day there was a picture. She was very artistic. And then she'd write her favorite thing. So I pulled it, flipping through it. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, it was not even in the lines. I mean, it was like a two-year-old. You couldn't read the letters. You couldn't do anything. And so I was like, this is it. This is it. So thankfully, I had an answer. So I thought, this is going to be fine. You know, we just need to get to a doctor. Everything will be fine. The next morning, she did wake up a completely different, you know, she was crawling on the floor like an animal, like just, she, you know, would get mad at her little sister and then just like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what I, you know, why I did that. So then we started going to the doctors, knowing that she just had scarlet fever. We went into our pediatrician. They ran blood work. They gave us another antibiotic, started that. Things went away. They got better.
Yeah.
The minute we would stop, things would start creeping back in. So we'd go back in. Then, you know, thankfully, we flew to see specialists. That didn't end up being what I wanted it to be. You know, I have a kid that has the choreiform movements, the full body tics, all of these symptoms. We ran all the tests. We're seeing the head of the, you know, and thinking they're going to have answers and we'll be good. And they said, you know, obviously strep is affecting her. Let's put her on a prophylactic antibiotic till she's 18, do some steroids, and that's the answer. And so I left thinking it wasn't pandas. And then this is what we were going to do. And so we were on antibiotics for almost 8 months on and off. And then she started having cyclical fevers with joint pain. And so it was just by the grace of God that we went into our pediatrician and he was gone. We had someone filling in, and he looked at me and he just put his hand on my lap and he said, "This is Pandas. We're not going to be able to help you here. You're going to need to look into tick-borne illnesses, and I'm going to tell you where to go." And so that then started our functional medicine route. And that was for a few years. So we did all the chasing the infections, doing all the blood work, doing all the therapies, lots of different antibiotics, cycling through for Lyme, low-dose immunotherapy. We never did do IVIG. We did get a diagnosis. They started a Pandas clinic here at our university. I think we were one of the first to go in, and I feel like I knew more than they did. They just wanted us to track symptoms and go from there. So we were on the functional route for a long time. Things did help, you know, like everything. I mean, things got better, but then we just kept having to throw more and more and more at her. And then I didn't know what was working, what wasn't. And then she was about 10, 10 and a half, and she called it quits. She said, "I can't do this anymore. I'm barely eating anything. Like, I have to fit in all of these supplements." She was just pill fatigued. And I had sat on the Facebook page for quite a while, thinking we were doing homeopathy, because we were, you know, and then I had known that I needed to find something, you know. So I sat, went through resilience page, figured it was a different way of doing homeopathy. So that's when we decided to give her call. And I just remember getting the call from Jody in my kitchen and just feeling like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is it. I will say, though, if we had started homeopathy first, I don't know if I would have been able to make it, because I have a lot of patience, but it was trying.
Yeah.
Definitely trying.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. Like, you know, I was a big skeptic of homeopathy, and sometimes still am, honestly. Mm-hmm. And two, I don't think if I hadn't tried lots and lots of things and seen how they weren't actually able to get me to the life I wanted, mm-hmm. and that they weren't helping in the ways that I felt like something should help me, or causing other illnesses. And then my only answer was like this, you know, last resort, not great place. I don't know that I would have had the ability to accept and have the patience for everything with homeopathy. So I'm right there with you.
I mean, I give those families credit who get here first, mm-hmm. because it's easy for me to look back. I mean, we're healed. We've been out of it. It's very clear looking back what we went through. In it, totally different story. And that, I mean, I give credit to those that are coming here first. I love it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, and there's pros and cons with that too, right? And so I'm just going to pause for a second, and I want to get right back to you. But like, I think that there's the reality is there's pros and cons of getting to homeopathy first. The truth of the matter is, it is generally an easier, more effective, faster mm-hmm. process to get to the end if you get to homeopathy first, if you start there early and are patient and persistent with it. The challenge is that doubt that can creep in through the ups and downs and the patience that's required. If you haven't tried other things, we're human and we want to believe I'm the one that this other thing is going to be really helpful for. I'm not going to end up on the medication merry-go-round. I should have tried that. I need to try that. And so the desire to get things to go away fast can sometimes interfere with the patients, even though the process tends to be faster and easier if you don't include all of the other things early on, because we don't have as much to work through and to like manage in the increased complexity that can come with adding lots of different things. So it's both a gift and a disadvantage, because sometimes it will make people then try to jump to something else and not see how much homeopathy is actually helping because they don't have the comparison of like the previous experience. So I think it's great though for anybody who is here early and finding homeopathy early, borrowing other people's patients and borrowing other people's experience and being able to say, yeah, this is really hard. And I have, you know, I know that this is generally what happens with other people too. And recognizing that it's probably going to happen with you too. We just always want to think that we're exceptional.
Yeah.
Right. And we can worry about the other way too. Maybe I'm the one who homeopathy isn't going to work for, right? It goes, we're exceptional mm-hmm. in both ways. I'll be the one that this thing that doesn't really work for a whole lot of people does work for. And I'm going to be the one person that this thing that's working for a whole lot of people won't work for. It's kind of both ways. I want to just ask you a couple of things. I'm sure Jody, well, I'm going to pause first because I know that there's a whole lot of what Bridget shared that I'm sure you relate to. And I just want to not walk all over you. And if there's something that you wanted to connect mom to mom about.
No, I just, Bridget, you've told me before that our girls' stories are so similar. They really are. Like, I was just listening to you tell every story. It's wild how similar they are and how, like, I don't know, just the, you know, I know you personally, obviously we work together, but man, the connection we have as moms through mm-hmm. stories is so strong and so powerful. And I know I always get on my soapbox about Pan's moms changing the world, but like, I don't know, the connection that we have through our children's stories and the power and the ability to change things is so fantastic. So I'm just going to echo that. I'm really glad that you're here telling your story, because I'm getting to hear the whole thing for the first time, or the second time. I just don't remember it. The first time we right. we talked, but I love it. And then also to echo what you guys were just talking about, this is such a hard thing for me to say to moms, this thing about, you know, I want to tell moms that they're going to end up back in homeopathy. Like, I want to say out loud, this is what so many of us have done. This is, and I know you go through this too, Bridget, because you're talking, mm-hmm. they're getting started and it's like, I just want to say, like, you're most likely going to end up back at homeopathy, but we have to go through the fire in order to be ready for the battle that we truly have to do. That's just such a hard thing to help people understand before you go through it, though. I'm kind of rambling.
Mm-hmm. I just want to validate that too. Okay. So as somebody who is a practicing homeopath, who has been using homeopathy for a very long time and who has seen how much it impacts people, thousands and thousands of people that we have helped. And I know that it works, and my own experience with what it works for, or how effective it really is. And I still sometimes with my second half of healing and the stuff that's been hanging around forever and that just doesn't want to move, I have those times when I'm like, should I just do something else? Should I just like accept this and whatever? And then it always comes back to, but I know I'm going to end up back here. So why am I going to delay this? Because I also know how, like, have I just forgotten how those things that I've already used didn't help? Or led me to this place. Like, if they worked so effectively, I wouldn't be here right now contemplating going back to them again, you know? So anyway, again, much bigger aside than we anticipated, but you know, we go where we need to go. Yeah. Somebody needed to hear that. So Bridget, you shared with us a little bit about why you decided to pursue homeopathy. It sounds like mostly because you were in that merry-go-round space, mm-hmm. and your daughter was done. She pulled the plug for you, so you had to find something else. But what you said was that you thought you were doing homeopathy, that you were using homeopathic remedies at least. Can you tell mm-hmm. me a little bit about what you were doing and what you learned from the group that you know made you say that you thought you were doing homeopathy? Just tell me more about that.
So we were with our functional medicine doctor. We were doing, I think it was Desbio. It was not classical homeopathy. So, you know, we were having multiple tinctures, you know, giving multiple mm-hmm. times during the day. So it was homeopathy. So I, you know, the group when I joined wasn't as big. There wasn't a lot of resources. I was just there to see all of the comments. Today, there's so much more, you know, this community has a lot more. So I'm doing homeopathy. I didn't know there was different kinds. So once we had to stop everything else, that was the only page that really gave me hope. And so then I started to dig into that. And, you know, realizing that there were different types of homeopathy, I was like, great, we are ready. Let's go. Let's sign up. And we weaned off pretty much everything because she just had called it quits. So we solely only were doing homeopathy once we started with resilience.
So I really appreciate that you said we thought we were doing homeopathy, and because the reality is I get frustrated because you, like you said, you thought you were doing homeopathy, and like, even, you know, like we try to be really magnanimous and like accepting and say like, there's different types of homeopathy, but the reality is they just shouldn't be called homeopathy because they're not, you know, homeopathy is a specific way of recommending medication or anything, you know? So like, I share this with people sometimes, and I'm again going on another tangent, and I'm sorry for keeping going on all these tangents on our conversation, but I think that it's important information that somebody needs to hear, right? So homeopathy is about how a medicine is used, not about it being dilute. And so the dilution is just an effect of trying to make sure that we have the least negative impacts while we're nudging the body to heal and to respond to the stimulus with as gentle approach as we possibly can. So the dilution is not the thing that makes something homeopathic. It's how it's used. And it can only be used if we know what this one thing can cause in a healthy person. And so therefore what it can be used to stimulate the healing when there's a similar presentation, because we're trying to evoke the equal but opposite response in the body that the body is going to produce on its own. So for instance, using Adderall is homeopathic because it is using a stimulant to get somebody who is hyperstimulated to settle down. And so it's not about the dilution, it's about how it's used. And so I don't have a problem. I mean, if people are finding results and seeing good things happen with using combination products, I think that's fine. You're not likely to get the same response. It's usually more of a palliative. So like helps with symptoms, but doesn't actually lead to the body like getting into a place where it's restored health and that it can handle things on its own. You need to keep taking them in order to manage symptoms. So I just personally, I wish that people would call it something different, you know, like the use of dilute medicines or whatever, because it's not actually homeopathy if it's not being used the appropriate way. And like, you know, like I said, we can use anything homeopathically, even if it's not ultra dilute. So huge tangent. Sorry about that.
That was good information though.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, I was just about to say, if anybody in the world is all about education, it's Bridget and I. So please, like, these little blips of education, don't hold those back, because really, I mean, we're here to hear Bridget's story, but also there's people here that are learning and that don't understand these things. So I think it's all valuable.
Yeah.
Bridget, everybody's healing journey is different. Tell us a little bit about yours.
So for her, I would say it was clear, the 2 to 3 steps forward, 1 step back after the fact. During the process, you know, I couldn't recognize it. There was, you know, I would go into our appointments in the beginning thinking nothing was happening. I would leave our appointments seeing all these symptoms that were better or weren't there. But in between those appointments, I didn't recognize it. So even when our appointments moved out, I ended up kind of having to move them back, just for my own sake. I needed the extra, like, hey, look at this, like, you can't see it, but I'm going to show you. So it was confusing. I don't think I was a great observer, but we still got to the end result. Then there was, you know, a point where we had a massive 4-month regression. So we were trucking along for a year and a half. better, worse. And then at a year and a half, she had an impetigo infection. We got a cream, we got a remedy. It went away. Shortly after that, it was like every tick she had ever had came back at once. Things started to come back. It looked like we didn't do any healing. So if I had other options at that point, I would have said, oh, that was a year and a half that didn't do anything. And now let's move on. Thankfully, we didn't have that option. And I get sweats thinking like we could have left so close to full healing and not have known it. But you know, we had to trial through remedies and didn't seem like much was moving. It was very, very, very cool to recognize that, you know, I did start using homeopathy shortly after my daughter did. During this 4-month regression, neither of us spiraled. Like, if that would have happened before, I mean, I would have said, you know, like, it's like, this is it. You know, like there's nothing else. My daughter, you know, 12 and a half, all these ticks. And she's like, hey, we got rid of them before. You know, we just need to take time and figure this out. And we're like, yep, that's what we do, you know? And it was very clear then, you know, I was using homeopathy for physical symptoms with Lyme. It clearly had helped with, you know, just the PTSD. And it was shortly after that, then, you know, I had our appointment with our provider and I had mentioned the fact that, you know, all of her friends were still passing impetigo around. It was everywhere. So that was the decision that we were going to select a remedy that covered impetigo as well, even though Addie didn't have it. And dosed by the second day, 70%, I mean, gone. And in 2 weeks, there was nothing left. And we have not seen a thing. It'll be 3 years in December. And she has had strep. She has gone through puberty. We have, you know, viral illnesses. We have all of that. And she has the immune system, knows what it's doing. And that is the goal. And just so cool to see, I mean, this 15-year-old who was riddled with anxiety, you know, and she just started her freshman year. She's coming from a very tiny little school, like 9 kids in her class till 5th grade. She graduated with 15. She has to go to the public school in her city, thousands of kids. This is what I'm doing. And she had made a comment like, before, she's like, gosh, I was the one that had all this anxiety. Everybody around me has so much anxiety. I have none. And I'm like, awesome. I mean, the powerful thing, you know, obviously she knows herself so well going through this. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty awesome to see. Yeah.
So Bridget, it sounds like as you're telling the story, I'm like, oh my gosh, was this the last hurrah? It sounds like this was the last hurrah. And that you had that experience and that, like, so for anybody who hasn't heard me talk about this before, maybe, do we have a podcast episode on? If we do, we should link it. If we haven't, we'll book one and we'll schedule one. So the last hurrah is basically this phenomenon that I started to see that I saw happen enough times that I started calling it something and I called it the last hurrah, which was basically the last hurrah of the body trying to say, here's what I got left. Here's the last bit of my susceptibility. Let's deal with it. And Jody, your daughter was the first person I ever saw it with. And then I saw it in enough people. It just sort of tumbled out of my mouth and I started calling it the last hurrah. And I'm so, we both have, like, all three of us here have gotten really lucky, right? Like when Jody, you have we had the experience of the last hurrah for Avery, you had the confidence. I was like, what's going on? Did I waste my last, I think it was like a year in with Avery that we had it. I was like, did we waste the last year? Like, this shouldn't be happening. What is going on? And I just had never seen it. I'd never helped somebody get to that point of healing with PANS and PANDAS before. So I didn't have like a context for it. But you had the confidence, Jody, to be like, we've gotten her out before. We'll get her out again. This is tough, but we'll do it. Bridget, it sounds like your daughter had that same calm confidence that Jody had. and that I had to borrow from Jody, and it sounds like you had to borrow from your daughter.
Yeah. I get goosebumps thinking about it.
I know. It's crazy because it would have been so easy to just be like, well, but I think that too, like one of the things that I love about homeopathy is the relationship, the provider client relationship, like I trusted you. Because I trusted you and I trusted homeopathy. Bridget, I would imagine that it was a little bit of the same. You trusted your provider and I've never experienced any type of caregiver, like the relationship that I had with you and Bridget, I'm sure the same. It's just different. And I knew that you had Avery's best interest at heart. And like, I saw you do the thing before. So why couldn't we do it again? And same thing with you, right, Bridget?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it starting with resilience, I got to become the mom again. Mm-hmm. I gave all of the trust. I had all the faith in my provider because nowhere else did I have someone always in my corner. I knew that they cared about my kiddo. Like they knew everything. They were going to do anything they could to help her. And, you know, I was spent. So you tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. And, you know, just keep the faith. And, you know, they could tell me it's going to be okay. Just we've got this. And that was the support and just them listening, you know, to get us through it. And that means the world when you're dealing with this disease for sure.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to love moms through that, right? Because I'm sure that I was telling you it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Right. But even like, it's so hard when moms are in the middle of that because we know it's going to be okay. We know everything is going to end up okay because it homeopathy will do it all over again. And in the last hurrah, oftentimes we see it do it a whole lot faster. And it's just so hard because that is one of the most PTSD triggering things.
Yeah, it's devastating.
We go through on this journey. So it's so hard for me to tell a mom, no, it's going to be just fine. It's going to be fine. But you've experienced it. I've experienced it. We've helped a whole lot of moms through that. And it's just such a tough thing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I always say that we need to not borrow trouble, but we need to borrow confidence. And I've never put the two together that I talk about borrowing things so often, but so we need to not borrow trouble and borrow confidence any chance we get. And I can't tell you how many times borrowed confidence from somebody else who has been there before has helped. My providers on our team have had to borrow my confidence for things when they're like, this is the first time I'm seeing it, because it is destabilizing for everybody the first time you see something like that happen, for everybody, for providers and parents and except for your daughter, apparently. She's the only one who wasn't destabilized by it. But it rocks you. It rocks you no matter what. And so I think that's one of the things that I would offer to people listening today is, whether it's with homeopathy or anything, is to, you know, when you don't feel that confidence, instead of like diving in and trying to be the sleuth and trying to figure things out, and that takes away your ability to be mom, that's a really good time to like relax into borrowing the confidence from somebody else who's been there before you and then wants your child to join you on the other end.
Don't borrow trouble is seriously the best thing, I mean, besides homeopathy. It has like changed our lives that is why my daughter can be who she is, because she is not in her head, because that has just been instilled in her. I'm a worrier. Like that is just a hobby of mine, or was a hobby of mine. And that phrase gets used over and over and over again. And my kids are telling it to their friends. But that has stopped I don't even need to worry. That has stopped. And going through homeopathy with that like mindset makes it a lot easier. It really does. Because there's so much you can't control.
Yeah.
And don't worry about it.
Let's get back to your story, because I want to make sure we get a chance to for you to share all of the things about it. So I'm curious if you had any obstacles that you had to face on your PANS journey. Things like, it doesn't sound like getting a diagnosis. You had a little bit of an obstacle, but then you had the you know, luck of having a fill-in doctor who was like, nope, this is for sure what it is. Did you have any friend or family issues, any school issues, any obstacles to healing that you had to address?
I think, you know, the only thing was trying to explain what we were doing once we got to homeopathy. That was just the hard thing. And then I finally was just like, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to do it. But yeah, nothing that was alarming.
Okay.
I feel like you kind of have a unicorn family though, from getting to know you. Like you definitely have a unicorn husband, but even your family, you had a really sweet, supportive family.
I do. I'm very fortunate. And that, that helps. Definitely. Yeah.
What did you find most challenging about homeopathy?
Gosh, I mean, just knowing that it's going to be okay, you know, knowing that what we're doing is working, because it really is. You see those glimpses, but they're always, you know, it's always dimming, you know, it's getting brighter, it's dimming, it's, you know, and that is just keeping the faith, you know, and that's why leaning on my provider was beneficial during that.
Yeah. And what did you like the most about using homeopathy?
Well, I mean, it was a lot simpler than having to fit in all the stuff we were doing. And my kid was willing to do it, and she was happily, you know, accepting the remedies and not questioning, you know, and it, the community, you know, that was a huge blessing, you know, to be able to have their support and be able to reach out if you needed the support.
That is one thing that I will say I love about PANS and PANDAS and homeopathy together, is that it has shown me such a huge heart from so many people, from the way that people will show up for strangers when they're struggling, has been continually reinvigorating and renewing my faith in just people because of how people show up in our community. So Bridget, tell us more about what life is like for you now. Are there things that are really accessible to your family that you didn't think would have been possible before? Like, just, tell us what life is like.
I mean, we're doing everything, you know, we're eating the things, we're going to the places. I don't have to worry about what's going to come down. You know, if something does happen, we've got this powerful thing in our back pocket that we will utilize, and I don't have to be, you know, fearing. And she, you know, we can live. Mm-hmm. I have my health back. You know, my younger one, we started her at an early age once we started seeing soft signs and just supporting her body. Like, I don't have to fear, you know, that this is gonna, you know, start to get worse for her. And my husband started homeopathy. So we're all in.
Yeah. So PANS is hard. Everybody that has been through it understands the depth of the difficulty. In talking to moms that have been through it, there are undeniable gifts that come from being in these hard spaces. Talk to us about some of those gifts that PANS gave your family.
I mean, just the gift of not worrying about these little things, like the things I used to stress about, the things I used to worry about, they're not worth my time. You know, I appreciate all these little things that other people would just not even think about. And just knowing that, you know, we can support our bodies. I have that knowledge now. I wouldn't have gotten here if it wasn't for PANS. I wouldn't have found homeopathy if it wasn't for PANS. And that, I'm sure, is going to benefit us, you know, outside of PANS. It already is. So,
yeah. So in a similar vein, I'm curious if there's anything that homeopathy has brought to your life that you were surprised by, or anything that you've learned from homeopathy that you end up applying to life.
Geez, I guess homeopathy, you know, I mean, I am spreading it to everyone. It can help anything. So it's like, oftentimes people are hearing me just say, oh, get a remedy for that, or get a remedy for that. Like, I, you know, I know that things are going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I say things so frequently where, the lessons I get from homeopathy, I think we're even probably going to do a whole episode just about this, because I think that it's so useful. But some of the things that I feel like homeopathy has taught me is that less is often more. It's one of my big lessons. Yeah, less is often more. Anyway,
I think mine is the slower is often better. There's just so many little ones. I feel like that's why we have to do a whole episode on them, because there's so many.
Yeah.
Bridget, what would you give? What advice would you give to parents that are brand new to PANS?
Brand new to PANS, there's hope. You know, this isn't a life sentence. Your kid's going to be okay. You know, it just might not be tomorrow, but they're going to get there, and it's going to be hard. I would say a piece of advice I could have used: set good boundaries for yourself. You know, you get that knowledge of, oh my gosh, this is what it is, and you start joining all of those groups, you start doing a deep dive, it's devastating on you as a parent, because you are just seeing like these sad situations. Protect yourself from that, you know, because it took me down. So if you're right in the beginning stages, be kind to yourself. And
I really love that advice. And it's the first time that we've heard somebody share that specific piece of advice. And I love that it comes on the tails of me just saying that I learned from homeopathy that less is often more. And that I have had to learn that I'm a more sensitive person than I ever thought that I was. And that the more I surround myself trying to find a solution for something, the less I can see the actual solution. And that I do need information. But there's more information is oftentimes not helpful in getting the next right step decided. In fact, it oftentimes causes a lot more paralysis or fear because of everything that comes with the additional information. So I really love that you offered that as advice.
I feel like if we're drowning in the noise of information, we can't hear our own intuition and what we know.
Absolutely.
Is best for our children. I wish I would have known that too. Speaking of Bridget, if today Bridget could have a conversation with November 2019 Bridget, who is standing at the starting line of the homeopathic healing journey, what would you tell her?
Get ready for a wild ride. It's going to be a roller coaster, you know, lots of ups and downs, and, you know, around every corner, you are going to see the light. But the next corner is going to be gone, and you just have to keep going, and you're going to end, and it's going to be amazing. You know, just keep your faith, you know, lean on the people that are going to tether you down when you're losing it. And don't borrow trouble. Learn that right away.
Well, it sounds to me from what you said earlier that I love that you added lean on the people, and that one of those people was your provider, because your provider had to shine the light for you so many times, because when you were living in it, it was hard to see the progress that had been made, because the progress wasn't like a light switch necessarily. It was changes in frequency, intensity, and duration, which is what we see as our healing. We don't see it on and off. And so it sounds like that was one of the things that was really important for you, was having that regular communication, so that you could have the light shown that you weren't as able to see while you were living in it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Bridget, you touched on your own healing with homeopathy earlier, but I'm always wanting to dive deeper into mom's healing because it's just so incredibly important. Talk to us a little bit more about your own healing journey and your experience with homeopathy.
So I, you know, obviously got a lot sicker when Addie got sick. I was having heart pericarditis. I was landing myself in the hospital. Lyme was my underlying. So I was doing all the things that she was doing with functional medicine. I was doing all that stuff alongside of her. And so then I moved to homeopathy after, you know, she started. It definitely is different when you're doing it. I can observe her. For me, I would go into my appointments and our provider would ask, how are you doing? Great, great. And then I'd give her, and she'd be like, that is not good. I was like,
so like the opposite. So you would think that Addie was doing awful and your provider could show that things are okay. And you'd be like, I'm fine. But they're like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's right. Yeah. So that was kind of a weird, you know, like, but I think I'm doing great. I'm good. She's like, no, you could do way better. Like, okay. So it was definitely, you know, I got off of everything. I did have a lot of the joint pain, the brain fog, a lot of sensitivities to things. And, you know, it was a lot harder for me to recognize the healing too, because I am like, hey, everything's great. Mm-hmm. It's good. But I haven't had any flares, you know, same going on 3 years. So it was not quick, but it was what worked.
It's interesting that the same thing like can be applied both ways, right? Like, like I'm losing myself here. So I'll come back to it in a minute if I get it. It was much more clear a minute ago. So I'll come back, but it would just, yeah.
Bridget, how is homeopathy still helping your girls even after recovery?
Oh gosh, this is the cool part, because when you're not in a chronic state, man, it is so cool to see that work. You know, we can stay on as a client if you have one appointment every 6 months. That's what we do. You know, and so this last one, I'm sure Addie's going to love this being aired, but she, you know, she went through puberty. It was a year of very irregular cycles, lots of cramps. And so this last appointment, I'm like, let's use it for that. And she's like, no, this is normal. This is what everybody, you live like this. I was like, no, I don't think you do. And so we had our appointment. Ironically, the first time that she actually met with our provider through all of this was this appointment. And, you know, our provider asked if there was anything else, you know, besides irregular cycles and cramping. And she said, I have the need to stretch my fingers back. I've been noticing that. So that was part of her remedy recommendation. And ironically, it was the first remedy we had ever been on. And we were on for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And one dose. And she's like, oh, I don't have to stretch my fingers back. This is great. And then cycle came. Still had, you know, some cramping. The next month, right on the exact time with zero cramping. And she was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Third month came. It was a little late with some cramping. So we know we need a, you know, a potency change. But it's so cool to see it work, you know, mm-hmm. also with acute illnesses. Mm-hmm. You know, we're jumping on, we're getting that instead of, you know, doing the other things if we can avoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like we have to pause here and talk about this more for even the non-PANS people that are listening. And my girls are the same age as Bridget's girls. So we're right here in this space. And I feel like it is such a cool thing that we get to change this. Like there's a movement going on in women's health where we are talking about all of the things that used to either not be talked about or treated like it was something bad, you know, all of the menopause stuff. And, you know, maybe it's because we're around that age. It's so much more in my face. I had no idea that there was something that could shift all that. Like growing up and having excruciatingly painful periods and all of the bad things that came along with it. And the only answer was put you on birth control. Mm-hmm. And that is what your fix is. I had no idea that homeopathy, and even watching Avery's journey through puberty and how significantly homeopathy and her stuff is just mood shifting stuff. Mm-hmm. Homeopathy can help that too. It's just so wild to me that the world doesn't know about this amazing thing that can help with all of these things, along with the really super complex, mm-hmm. insane things. So I love that we were fortunate enough to gain this knowledge of this medicine that can not only help recover this huge monster of a condition, but it's also helping our girls have an easier time moving through puberty and life in general. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I kind of took over that.
No, so Samuel Hahnemann actually talks about this to the extent that when we're dealing with chronic illness, that there's so frequently, and this is what we talk about when we talk about the second half of healing, which I don't think we have a podcast episode on that yet, but we're going to record one. But when we get to the second half of healing, we've got so many things that people accept as normal that are actually part of their unwell state that can be better, that we have to like sometimes really dig to understand so that we can get somebody to actually thrive at their highest capacity for themselves. And that it connects sort of to what you were saying earlier, Bridget, that you have learned to accept a certain amount of like not feeling good as okay, that to the point that you'd be like, I'm great. And somebody else had to be like, no, you're not, like, you don't have to feel the way that you're feeling, like, this isn't great. And that we've been taught to like just suppress so much of what we experience. And yes, so much of what women experience that we're just expected to just say, oh, it's normal. It's going to hurt. It's just going to be like this, instead of saying, I don't have to suffer. Like, it doesn't have to be this way. And yeah, homeopathy can help you not have to have it be that way.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The trick is getting the rest of the world to learn about homeopathy, which is, I know what we're trying to do, but it's like, I just want to like infuse everyone with this knowledge somehow, supernaturally, but
we'll get there.
I know.
I love that you are willing to come and do your part to share some of your story and the way that it was able to help us trigger so many different things that we were able to talk about that maybe we didn't expect to talk about, but that are going to take us one step further for that education. And Jody, I just have to also say, I feel like you are like, not like, obviously you're not the mother of homeopathy, but I feel like you kind of are, like, you want to just wrap your arms around the entire world and like help lift everybody up and help everybody feel better. And that's the, like, you it's like a truth in your heart. It's not anything that you're putting on or anything like that. And I love that about you and how much you offer that up to so many people. So thank you both for what you bring to us as a community, to the Pans and Pandas community, and to the world, and what you're willing to come and share, and the love that you just both radiate to offer that up to people. So thank you both.
Thank you for everything you guys do day in and day out. And I do have a vision that these kids are getting older, they're getting married, and you guys are getting tons of wedding invitations, and you are going to be living like you're in your 20s with weddings every weekend. So get shopping, because it's going to be here sooner than later.
I am here for that. Yes. I'm here for weddings and graduations and all of the things that, yes, I'm here for it. So we'll call it in.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Bridget, for your time and your vulnerability. And you did far better than you thought you were going to do. You did amazing in sharing things. You were so clear and so, like, not even a single stumble. So thank you so much for stepping out of your comfort zone and helping us have this really good, more in depth than I expected, conversation about homeopathy and healing. So thank you.
Well, you made me feel comfortable, so I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.